When I was robbing a bank, I was King Kong. I was boss. When I walked out, the power I felt was intense. And being chased and knowing that I did this thing that was wrong and I got all this cash in my hand, like, that's a freaking rush.
You're listening to How To. I'm Charles Duhigg. On this show, we try to solve listeners' toughest problems. But sometimes it's fun to ask questions we all secretly wish we knew the answers to. Like, how to rob a bank? That's something I've always wondered about because I love bank heist movies.
Behind.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Heat, Inside Man, even Point Break. I love those movies. And bank robbers are sexy and exciting, right? Robert Redford, Clive Owens, Robert De Niro.
We want to hurt no one. We're here for the bank's money, not your money. Your money is insured by the federal government. You're not going to lose a dime.
I've always wanted to know, how do you rob a bank? Like, could I rob a bank? I mean, like, really? Could I rob a bank? So I found a bank robber.
Hello, my name is Joe Loya, and I am author of The Man Who Outgrew His Prison Cell, Confessions of a Bank Robber.
I mean, you're not just like a bank robber. You're like a very talented bank robber. You're yeah. Very prolific. How many banks altogether did you rob?
At one point, I counted 30.
Wow.
The FBI in court said between 30 and 40, wow. But ultimately, I pled guilty to 3.
And how much was your take? Like, what, like, did you ever calculate?
Yeah, from the 30, it ended up being $250,000, which in the end is not a lot of money. It's only like $7,000 a bank robbery, because in the beginning, sometimes I would only get $1,000 from a bank. And one time I robbed a bank, and I knew I got just nothing from them, maybe a couple thousand. And I was so angry, I just walked in the bank next door and robbed it too, even though the police were on the way.
Really?
So, yeah. So that was that guy. That was a day where I robbed 4.
I met up with Joe in California.
Let's go look at some banks.
And I'm not going to say which town because, you know, evidence and self-incrimination and stuff like that. But I asked Joe if he would teach me the nuts and bolts of bank robbery.
I don't think we should park in this bank parking lot.
Okay.
What you want to do is, there's like, I think a Denny's down this way. We can go park in the Denny's parking lot.
This is like my first like totally amateur move is I actually parked in the parking lot of the bank we're going to rob. Now that you mentioned it, it makes total sense.
My goal was to learn enough that I could rob a bank that day. Like literally by the end of our conversation, I could walk into a bank and then walk out much, much richer.
So we're in this car that I rented just for today, for this. And it's this like huge black SUV. It's like literally like the biggest car I have ever been in my entire life. And like when I went to the rental place, I told them I was looking for a good getaway car. And the guy was like, oh man, you got to rent this car. But is this the right car? Like if you were going to rob a bank today, like, is this the car you would?
No. I mean, the reason I would have chose this car is precisely because that kid said, oh, this is the bank robbery car.
Oh, right.
So you want to be in something like that. Nobody thinks that's a getaway
car. Oh, that little
car.
Like a little Prius, like one of those like electric cars that like yuppies drive.
Yeah. But they would look at this because they would think, oh, this is, you know, if this is what they think getaway cars look like, you don't want to be in it.
So that's the first rule. If you're going to rob a bank, drive a Prius as your getaway car.
Well, let's go drive and find a bank to rob.
Okay.
As we drove, Joe told me about the first time he robbed a bank.
I decided I needed to rob a bank. I was in Mexico. I had been robbed in Mexico. I was a fugitive.
And this is before you've robbed any banks.
It's my first bank.
Okay.
I had mostly made my money through deception, defrauding people. And I didn't have a lot of money, but, you know, I had, you know, $30,000, $40,000, something like that. And now I had like $2,000, $2,500 in my pocket. That's all I had. So I drive up to the U.S. I was in Baja, California at the time. I start early, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I walk into a bank. I write a note there. And I'm like, no, I can't do it. So as I walk out, I realize there's 2 cameras on me. And they could have seen me writing the note right there. Like, I could have been busted here before. Like,
you realize
it was just so stupid. And I was like, what am I doing? Jesus Christ.
You realize you can't do it because you're feeling nervous? Or like,
yeah, I was just nervous. I was just like, I'm picking up a weird vibe. When the weird vibe was just, I was just scared. It turns out, I walk in banks all day, literally all day. I'm like embarrassed that I am not acting courageous at all. I am totally fearful of this first bank robbery. But by 4:45, the banks close at 5 in those days, 1986. I walk in this bank. I put the note down. I grab. She finally gives me $4,500 or something, and I hit the door and I hear, "He robbed us! He just robbed us!" And I barely hit the door and I start running. And people are running after me. And, but I'm fast. So I'm like, oh shit, they're running, they're chasing me. So I just, kick it in a high gear, far down the block, and I jump into a cab.
Into a cab? You didn't have a getaway car?
No. I was just walking around. So I get into a cab, they drive me down to San Ysidro. I had a hotel there. I'm all excited, $4,500. I get in my car first thing in the morning, go into Mexico on the last off-ramp, and the border's closed. And it's closed because they're looking for stolen cars. And so they get me for the stolen car that I was in. They did not get me for the bank robbery. I went to prison for 2 years, and the whole time I'm sitting there like, I know what I do when I get out. I have a future in crime, and it's bank robbery.
The reason Joe was certain he wanted to become a bank robber was because pretty much the same reason I want to become a bank robber. Because bank robbers are cool.
One thing I picked up real quick, bank robbers, they occupy a special place in the prison hierarchy.
Huh.
And because Hollywood, you know, every Hollywood hunk has played a bank robber.
Wow. Yeah.
Everybody has fantasized. I mean, when I went on my book tour, an old lady with blue hair came up to me and she says, you know what? I always thought about robbing a bank when I was younger.
You know, the thing I'm thinking as you're saying this is like, that's actually why I reached out to you. I've always wanted to rob a bank. Like, I thought that's why I wanted to learn how to rob a bank is because, like, you're right. It does seem like, it seems sexy and cool and like...
It's a sexy crime. That's exactly it. It's a sexy crime.
After he got caught that first time, Joe wanted to figure out how to become a better bank robber. And so he started learning everything he could about how people rob banks. And once he started looking for lessons, he found them in some surprising places.
When I was on parole, when I got out of prison, I went to my parole office and the guy had a U.S. Department of Justice book of facts on the coffee table in the waiting room. So I picked
really?
I pick up this book of U.S. Department of Justice statistics on bank robbery. They had a whole thing in there.
It's like the coffee table book
it's like
at
like
the parole
thing
office?
That you look at when you're like, and so I look at it and it was kind of comical, but I look at this thing and I discover from all their statistics and charts that most bank robbers, they like kind of lay stuff out. Most bank robbers rob far away the first bank from where they live. And when they get away, they're so excited, like, oh, you know what? Maybe I don't have to go, I don't have to drive an hour away this time. I'll just go like 45 minutes, 50 minutes away. Cause an hour is a long time and I need to come back and buy dope, whatever. So then what they'll do is like 45 minutes, and it might take them 2 weeks to get, you know, muster up the courage to do it again.
Right.
And so then they come, the third time they do it, they won't wait 2 weeks. It'll be like a week and a half. And then this time they won't go 45 minutes. They'll just go 30 minutes. And so there's this, they can start seeing where it starts far and starts.
Oh, they're like drawing a line back to their house.
And then finally they're just frenzying around their house. They're like, then you kind of can pinpoint where this person is based on, like, that kind of stuff, right?
Wait, that was in the book? Like, literally
these
this coffee table book you're reading?
Yeah, this is where I got it from. And so I say, I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to start robbing nearby, and I'm going to, with greater frequency, I'm going to start robbing further and further in San Diego. I'm going to go that way. That's why I frenzied in San Diego and robbed 4 one day. And I was in L.A.
So this is the next rule of robbing a bank. Read the books your parole officer leaves on the coffee table. Only joking. The real rule is, don't conform to usual patterns. Don't get lazy and start robbing closer and closer to home. And that actually leads us to the next lesson Joe learned. Don't assume that the bank security guard is going to stop you from robbing the bank. Because the truth is, the bank, oftentimes, they'll let you get away.
I have robbed 2 banks in which there was a security guard in it.
Huh.
And I didn't care. Because I was fearless. So he was not going to do anything to stop me from walking out of that bank. because the FBI doesn't want gunplay in the bank. And they're told, let them go, get all the intelligence you can gather from observing them, but they don't want to risk the people inside.
There's a bigger rule here. Don't do what's expected of you. Don't run out of the bank and hop in your getaway car. Instead, just calmly walk away. Because everyone who works in a bank, they've all seen the same movies you have. So don't act like a movie star bank robber. Do the opposite.
I normally did suburbs, and when I did suburb banks, I did it so that they are usually at the corner of like a shopping center. So there was a Ralph's or a Vons or something there, and a Rite Aid, and a bunch of little shops, coffee shop. And I would park my car on the other side of them. I would walk through them, come through the parking lot, and get to the bank at the corner, and then I would walk through my thing. So now here's a Bank of America, for example.
Yeah.
So like I would park down here on the other side of this building, and I would walk through this, and I'd have a building between me and the bank.
The bank.
So I would just walk casually out of the bank through there. And the advantage I would have if I parked somewhere over here, when I got in my car, I'd feel totally comfortable. I could now drive toward the bank because they would not be expecting the bank robber to be driving towards the bank, right? What they are going to be looking for when they leave the bank, after, if they wanted to chase me at all, is a getaway car. If they had lifted up their head and looked in the parking lot, they would have seen me looking at them like a bunch of knuckleheads, but they never could. Because Hollywood has everyone jumping in getaway cars.
That's interesting.
And so they would be looking for a car or somebody in a car, which is why I could walk away and they would never think I was simply walking, you know,
so as long
two
as
blocks
you're,
away.
As long as you're strolling down this like just leafy casually, green tree past this office building.
Right through this parking lot, just casually.
Yeah.
And, not and running, just walking
on,
away.
On the way to your Prius. So the way that you're describing this, it makes it sound like actually robbing a bank is really like simple.
It was simple. That's why everyone can do it.
But how do you choose which banks to rob in the first place?
Okay, so as we're driving and there's a couple of banks on this road, like what are we looking for?
Okay, for me, as you see, there's a freeway right here.
Yeah.
Once I get on this freeway, I'm a minute away from a freeway exchange. So that one there gives me four ways to go, and they don't know which way I've gone.
Okay, so that's the next rule. Find a bank near a highway interchange. But to be honest, all those tips, they're relatively minor compared to the biggest, most important rule of all. When you walk up to the teller, you need to be able to terrorize them. Joe, he didn't really care about security cameras or casing the joint before a robbery. All he really cared about was being able to scare the teller so badly that they would do anything he told them to. Terror was the key.
If you're serious about doing this, then you just need to terrorize a person enough so they are willing to do something they're not supposed to do, and for the purpose of preserving their life. If you can persuade them that their life is in danger, most people will be like, you know what, my life is more valuable than $7,000 this guy might get here.
Yeah.
And so I knew how to step into in front of somebody who was good faith person. They say, hey, how you doing, sir, whatever, and immediately blast them with a ferocity of threat and menace, and my eyes would just go dark. And so I would always start with, we have a bomb, making them think there was some conspiracy, that there were other people.
Okay.
Because then that's just opened it up. They're like, okay, I don't know who's looking.
So
I don't know who's involved.
We
have a bomb. And then I have a gun. So now, I mean, I had a gun, but I never showed the gun.
Okay.
And so I knew that I had power. And a lot of it's true, not only in the delivery, it's also in the eyes. You know, it just would go blank.
Joe knew how to do this, he said, because of how he'd been raised. And that's what he would think about on the way to the robbery.
I was raised in an exceptionally brutal home. And when I was 16, I was getting beat so badly that later, you know, in the hospital, the police would take me and discover that I had a concussion and fractured bones. And then we were placed in foster care. So I was raised terrorized. I was raised with a level of viciousness and energy that just came in and just, you know, cut you in half. I learned how to conjure that in myself.
Yeah.
And at 16, in fact, when my dad came home for round two for the beating, I picked up a steak knife and I stabbed him in the neck and tried to kill him. He survived, and then we went into foster care. So that was where the beginning of my rage being able to act itself out.
Like, how do you feel on the way driving to look for a bank?
I mean, I would get so anxious because my body was like, hell no, stop, man. You might get shot today. You might get killed. We don't want to die. We don't want to die. Stop, stop. And my body would do everything it can to subvert the process. So I would get so intense with my hands on the steering wheel. I'd be like, I had to do something. I'm constantly like, just, I couldn't keep them on the steering wheel. My stomach would be killing me. My head would hurt, and then this intense wave of fatigue would roll over me. You know, just my body wanted to shut down. Like, it was almost like the red lights at a train stop, right? Like, stop, stop, stop. And then I would summon humiliations. I would summon my childhood, the things, including when my dad beat me and then I stabbed him. And then this rage that rose up inside of me that was incited by these memories, that had been the thing that had been protecting me since I was a boy. And it came up and it slammed all that stuff down. And then when I was robbing a bank, I was King Kong. I was boss. I took my energy into a bank and I cut people in half. And I derived my pleasure from them being afraid. And I felt amazing because the power dynamics, everything shifted to me. When I walked out, the power I felt was intense. And the rush of like being chased and knowing that I did this thing that was wrong and I got all this cash in my hand, like, that's a freaking rush. Now, I literally one time when I was on bond, took a guy to rob a bank to teach him how to rob a bank. Comes running out and I was parked away and he runs to me and I'm all excited. He gets in, he's breathing heavy. I'm all excited, it's like a movie. It's great, he did it, first bank robbery. So how much did you get, homeboy? And he was like, oh no, I didn't get any, they told me no. I was like, what the? How does anybody, they're supposed to give you the money. How did that? I was so angry. It was ridiculous how much this guy could not exude the requisite menace.
I don't think I have that menace.
Most people don't. You know who does? Assholes. Who? Assholes have it. You gotta be an asshole to do it.
So this is interesting because what I hear you saying is I thought that I'd be able to rob this bank today just by learning the rules. Like, but no. You're telling me like it's the menace. Like I have to be able to, I have to have that anger. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can terrorize someone. Like, yeah, even just, I mean, the idea of, we're in front of the bank that we've identified. And okay, so I'm going to go in. I'll be back in like 10 minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It shouldn't take you that long, man.
No, it probably shouldn't. Because I might, but I might rob this. I mean.
Well, I ain't going to be your getaway driver. So you're on your own, bro. What are you locking the door? I'm just saying,
what do you think the odds are? I'm walking. I now have gotten the tutorial. What do you think the odds are that I walk in?
The odds are that I don't think so. But I'm telling you, man, you will be pounding on these doors saying, let me in while I'm driving away.
Okay. I'm going to go. I'll be back. I'll be all back. Right, I might be pounding on the doors.
All right, let's go.
Coming up, I try to rob a bank. Sort of.
This episode is brought to you by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. I'm Dr. Katie Milkman, a behavioral scientist and professor at the Wharton School and the author of the best-selling book, How to Change. You may have heard expressions like, time to get up and going, today's bad decisions aren't going to make themselves, or bad decisions make good stories. But really, no one wants to suffer the consequences of making a bad choice. Join me as I share true stories from sports heroes, Nobel laureates, and everyday people faced with monumental decisions. We'll discuss the latest research in behavioral science and dive into themes like whether we can learn to make smarter decisions and how powerful it can be to get a do-over. And we'll share useful tools and strategies to help you make better choices in your own life. You can find Choiceology at schwab.com/podcast or wherever you listen.
Okay, this is Charles Duhigg. I'm sitting in my car. I've talked to Joe Loya. All right, okay, I'm getting out. So I'm walking through the, there's a plane overhead. I'm walking through the parking lot, and oh my God, I left my keys in the car.
So I left Joe, fully intending to test what he had taught me about robbing banks. But let's be totally honest with each other. I knew I wasn't going to actually rob a bank, right? Like, not only am I not prepared emotionally for grand theft larceny, but I'm definitely not prepared to go to prison, no matter how much it's going to make for an awesome podcast episode. But I did wonder, could I muster up this thing that Joe said was the most critical part? Like, could I muster up the menace that you need to do a bank robbery?
I actually have an account at this.
I figured I would find some banks using Joe's method, and then I would go in and see what happens.
I'm going to walk over.
Like, could I intimidate the tellers at least a little bit and maybe get them to answer some questions?
Hey, how are you? Hey, can I ask you this is a weird question. I was wondering, have you ever been robbed?
No,
you've never been robbed. That's never happened to you.
No.
Like, do they tell you like what are you supposed to do if like a bank robber comes up?
Yeah, we're not supposed to give that information out to customers.
You're not supposed to tell customers what you would do if a bank robbery happens.
No. Are we going to do a transaction?
Sure. Okay. Like, do you ever? Oh crap! I put in the wrong code. Do I hit cancel? Do you ever worry about like?
No, sir.
Bank robberies or anything? No, you don't worry about that.
How much are we withdrawing today?
How much are we drawing? Just $10. So can I tell you the reason I was asking about this? I was talking to this guy. We interviewed this guy. He was like he got caught, but he was like a famous.
I'm sorry. And what account are we gonna withdraw from?
Maybe like I guess the checking account.
Sure.
Anyway, so I was talking to this guy. He had robbed like 30 banks. He had all this advice like you're gonna ask me to leave. Okay.
There you go.
There's my $10, and
there you go. Thank you so much.
You don't. Can I? I can't ask any more questions. No. I got it. Okay. I gotta go. Okay. So I'm gonna. Okay. And now I'm in the parking lot. And I guess if I had actually robbed this bank, I would walk calmly to my car, and I could get away. As it is, like, I just got $10 out of my account. That didn't go well at all. But I'm way less nervous now than I was walking in. I feel a lot better. Okay, this is the third bank that I'm gonna try and rob. The first two did not go very well at all. I feel like I'm going to be better at this one. I parked exactly where Joe told me. It's a bank. It's a different bank in a different mall. There's like a Jamba Juice here. Okay, I also know exactly where I'm going to escape my getaway. After I get the money, the freeway is three blocks away. They won't know which direction I've gone. Okay, I'm inside the bank. I just walked into the bank. And there's a lot more tellers. There's nobody in line. Be assertive. Hey, how are you doing? Hi. I had a question. I'm working on this thing, a podcast that we're making. I was just wondering, like, have you guys ever been, like, robbed?
We can't release that information.
You can't release, like, has that ever happened? It sounds terrible.
I'm sure all banks have been robbed.
All banks have been robbed? Yeah. Do you guys have a guard? I don't even see a guard.
I have to ask you to leave.
You're going to ask me to leave? Can I just ask you one thing? Would you be intimidated by me? Like, would I be like an intimidating? No.
I can give it.
You don't look really intimidated at all.
Sorry, I'm going to have to ask you.
Okay. You want me to leave? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Have a nice day. I'm sorry. Okay. So I'm just walking back to my car. There's no one pursuing me. I think that's a valuable lesson that I'm probably not a great bank robber. At least I remembered my keys this time. That did not go well at all, though. literally, I'm walking. So I think that the thing that I've definitely learned is that, like, I am not, I don't have a future in bank robbery. But it does. Let me ask this one question, which occurred to me when I was in there. If there was someone out there who's like listening to this and they're like, exactly what we were saying before, they think bank robbing is kind of cool, right? They think that if things were different, they could be a bank robber.
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
I tell people this all the time, because when I have to tell my, I go in, I've conducted writing workshops in juvenile halls, in prisons, men and women's prisons. And I tell the story, and mostly what I tell is like, hey, I'm not going to tell you how to rob a bank. Me, I went 14 months, robbed 30 banks. And that is a long time to be robbing and not get caught. I was pretty good at it. But then I had to give them 7 years in a prison for it. So what I'm telling you is like, yeah, it's kind of easy, but you're going to get your ass caught. And you're going to go to federal prison. It's going to suck.
That's the last rule. Assume you are going to get caught and that you're going to become a really bad person. Someone who isn't sexy at all. The kind of person who, frankly, no one ever wants to be. And then the best you can hope for is that someday, hopefully, you'll realize what a terrible person you've become, and somehow you'll change. But it could take years. Joe spent 7 years in prison, two of them in solitary confinement, where he basically went crazy, he told me. And all he could think about was how many people he had hurt. And then when he finally got out, he had to rebuild his entire life.
Because here's the thing, at the end of it all, I don't feel bad for any bank I robbed. I feel bad for all the terror I put into the women, mostly women, who I robbed. That is one of my singular regrets, and any friends know that. Because now I'm a total ally of women, because I suffered. When I changed my life and my conscience was awakened, just that knowledge of what I put into people and they had to take home. Everyone around them had to handle them and comfort them. And they have PTSD now. I mean, I got contacted by a woman once. I told a story at a storytelling thing, and she came up and said, man, I was robbed. I was actually robbed. Well, I was in a bank and I was a teller and I was robbed. And she says, you know, for a long time I had to go to therapy and I had PTSD. And she says, yeah, I'm glad you changed your life, but it's really terrible what happens on our end. And I was like, I know, I get it. And you know, that's one of my biggest regrets, is I am not the guy who robbed those banks anymore. Sometimes when I'm telling you these stories, because historically I understand they occurred and I was there and I have them as memories, but that guy, that rageful 26-year-old man, I'm a 57-year-old man now. I got a good family. I got a good life. I can't terrorize people like that now. Homeboy, I'm telling you right now, you and I walk in there, I don't know who would be more afraid, you or me.
I have to say, I don't think I will ever watch a bank heist movie the same way again. Like, I
don't think so either.
It's... I guess I going into this, it just seemed fun. Like, it just seems like, to learn how to rob a bank, that seemed like the coolest, sexiest thing. But I don't feel that way anymore at all.
That's
like,
good. That's good. You shouldn't.
It just, I mean, you seems know terrible.
Yeah, it's not.
Like even just saying that, like, I thought it would be sexy and fun, like, I feel kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joe. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's such a great pleasure to meet you.
You're welcome, man.
And if I do end up robbing a bank, I won't call
you.
Dude,
no, no. If you do end up robbing a bank, call me, man. I'll work with you on the book when you're in prison.
Okay.
Our special thanks to Joe Loya, the author of a wonderful memoir, The Man Who Outgrew His Prison Cell. We really, really appreciate him spending some time with us. And as well, our thanks to all the bank employees who were willing to put up with me as I was acting like an idiot inside their banks. Also, it goes without saying, please do not try this at home without first consulting an attorney who will tell you, do not rob a bank. On the other hand, if you have a question about something else, whether it's legal or illegal, we would love to hear from you. If you have a problem you need solved, drop us an email at howto@slate.com and we might have you on the show.
I don't care about anyone or anything. All I care about is going in, getting the bank. I'm gonna hit this bank, and it's closed. The doors are locked. Okay, so I'm gonna go find another bank.
If you like what you heard today, please tell a friend and give us a rating and a review in Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show.
Fierce. Oh, God. Seriously, dude? This bank is closed, too. Gee, how are these people staying in business if all of their banks are closed?
How To's executive producer is Derek John. Merritt Jacob is our engineer. Our theme music is by Hannes Brown. June Thomas is the senior managing producer of Slate Podcasts, and Gabriel Roth is Slate's editorial director for audio. Special thanks to Jeremy Dalmas, TJ Raphael, Katie Rayford, Asha Saluja, Maggie Taylor, and Julia Turner. I'm Charles Duhigg. Thanks for listening.